So I was sort of randomly scrolling, as good procrastinators do, and I came upon this very interesting little YouTube short from at Marie Forleo Motivation, and it's titled "3-Year-Old Boy Who Leaves Professional Engineers Shocked." And I'll add a link to it in the show notes, but I'm saying that in case you are thinking about later and want to look up the actual clip that I saw that sort of inspired this podcast. But the basic premise of the short is that an engineering professor named Leidy Klotz was playing Legos with his 3-year-old, and they had this quirky bridge that was not working quite right because one side was taller than the other. So the engineer said, "Oh, I know how to fix this." And he turned around to select just the right Lego bricks to fix the bridge. But when he turned back around, the 3-year-old had already fixed it. How did he do it? We'll talk about that right after this and how it applies to organizing to see if it helps you fix things in your house. A wise person once said, "Everybody is a genius. But if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it's stupid." Well, fish, quit trying to climb trees while getting advice from well-intentioned monkeys. It's time to jump in the water and learn how to swim with the current of your life. I'm Joy, a professional organizer, mom of four, and fellow fish brain. If you're looking for a place to get understanding, encouragement, and ideas for your home that actually fit how your brain thinks, then I'm glad you're here. Let's ditch the type A advice and embrace what makes our brains and our homes unique. Together, we can have a joy-loving home. Okay, so how did the 3-year-old fix the bridge, which the engineering professor had not even thought of? Well, while his dad's back was turned, selecting just the right Legos, he had removed bricks from the tall side instead of adding bricks to the short side. And the dad was like, oh, it hadn't even occurred to him that that was an option. And he actually felt like it was the better choice because he didn't have to spend the time selecting just the right bricks and then, building it up and all of that. And so he was like, did, is this just me? Or, and my 3-year-old's brilliant, or was this just like I was a dummy for not thinking of that? So he set up a model of this bridge and he took it into his engineering students and tested out a couple of the other engineering professors, apparently. And every single one of them chose to try and add bricks to the short side. Not a single person that he tested this with had decided to subtract, which makes one wonder if a 3-year-old hadn't even thought to add, just innately knew to subtract, and yet every adult immediately went to adding. Is that sort of our consumerism marketing-driven society that makes us think the way to fix things is by adding to, not by subtracting from? And so what does all this have to do with organizing? And I know we speak a lot in organizing about the decluttering piece being huge and having less inventory making the difference. And it's one of those things where you're like, it makes sense. But if you look at it, let's like literally think about this 3-year-old's perspective. Walk over right now, like if you're at your house, you might be out walking, you might be out driving. But I want you to, if you get a moment, just walk over to a drawer in your house that won't shut, or a space that is overflowing its container that is driving you crazy. And think about the number of times you have said, well, I'm not going to organize this. I'm not going to fix this because I need some organizing products. I need to go get something to make this work better. And I don't have time to get it, or the money to get it, or the whatever to go get the things that I need to make this actually functional. What if you look at that drawer right now and you pull it open and I'm going to take you through four steps of how can I subtract and see if this is the fix. Let's put our three-year-old eyes on and say, first, what is this space for? So let's say it's your utensil drawer, for not like where the forks and knives and spoons go. Those typically, your flatware tends to fit. Let's talk about all those other utensils and cooking items and one-time use things that we use that will often completely clutter up a drawer, and you're digging through it every time you're needing to cook. So if you open that drawer and you say, what does this space actually need to be used for? And if it's something, so in my kitchen, for instance, this is a drawer that I have to the right of my stove. And so in it, I like to have the extra things that I use to actually prepare a food, particularly near the stove. I want things within hand's reach. If I've got, you know, the gas going and the, you know, the food is cooking and I need a quick grab of spatula or a whisk or whatever, and I want it right there next to me. So if I define the drawer as, this needs to be those things that I know I use, that I cook with all the time, that I want at an arm's length when I'm actively cooking. That is my definition of that space. So define the space first. Step two, look through, and is there anything that doesn't need to be there? You might still want it, but is that serving the purpose and the function of that space right now? So I'll look in and I'll go, oh, okay, I never use that avocado cutter or the strawberry plucker, or if I'm going to use a melon baller, I don't need it at the stove. There's so many one-time use or specific, I guess, specialty use items in a kitchen. So literally grab all of those things out, set them up on top of the counter so that they're no longer in the drawer, of the things that don't have to be at arm's length while you're cooking. And then look and go, okay, well, now that I've pulled out the things that could live somewhere else because I don't need them for the function of this space of what I'm looking at, is there anything else I'm looking at that I just never use, don't need, I'm storing it because I have it? Because this is one of those things in a drawer like this where you're like, well, it's in good condition, it functions, so I shouldn't get rid of it. But maybe actually you should, because it would make actually using the things you use all the time work better for you. So if I have cut up strawberries 100 times in the last year and I have never reached for the little destimmer because I just use a paring knife, do I need to have a destimmer? If I have cut open and cored, pulled the pit out and sliced up an avocado 20 times in this last month, and I have never reached for the specialty avocado knife scooper thing, I even know what its actual name is, do I actually need that to exist in my space? Like, if I am going to use a knife because I'm in the moment, I'm rolling through, I don't feel like dirtying an extra specialty tool, why do I have them? So step one was to pull out anything that doesn't belong in the function of the space. Step two is to pull out anything that you don't actually use, you don't actually reach for. And the question I'll ask clients a lot is, like, shifting all of a sudden to clothing. Like, if all of your clothing were clean, how many times do you actually reach for that particular shirt or that particular pair of pants? And if the answer is never, only if absolutely everything else I owned was dirty, if you had less stuff, you might actually keep your clothes cleaner because it doesn't seem overwhelming and you can't keep all these giant piles up because you're washing them on a regular basis because it's less to manage, then you don't need that shirt that is the last ditch resort. So, all right, I digressed, but we're defining the space. We're pulling out anything that doesn't belong in the space. That was step two. Step three actually was pulling out anything that isn't necessary because you don't ever use it. And then step four is neaten that space up now a little bit. How does it work? This is where if the kid pulled off four bricks and put the bridge back together and it wasn't quite even, he might pick it back up and pull two more things out and put it back down. So test how it works. If the drawer suddenly opens and closes easily, it's not getting hung up on the weird spatula that you didn't actually ever use. If it's now functioning because you removed items, you don't need to go buy the fancy organizing thing to add to the space. Because little known tidbit here, unless you just add the little springy dividers, and even adding those, you're actually making a drawer less spacious when you add the dividers. Because each of those things take up space, particularly if you grab one of those like bamboo ones or plastic ones that also has a bottom, you're shrinking the depth of that drawer. And so the goal here today is think like a three-year-old and walk up to any space that isn't working and say to yourself, what could I remove that would actually make this function better? Let's quit asking ourselves, what do I need to go buy to make it work? All right, just a little tidbit for today. I actually did this test with about four spaces in my kitchen because I was going to try it once before I podcasted it just to test it out, which is why the utensil drawer is in my mind because that was one of the ones I used. Every space I did this to is better because now I can get to the things I actually use without any frustration. And it's not only accessing the things I use, it's making the putting them back after I'm done with them that much easier because I'm not frustrated trying to shake a drawer open and then shift stuff around so I can stuff something down in it to shut it again. It just fits right in because the less stuff in there made it more functional. Didn't change anything. No organizing equipment purchased whatsoever. No products. All right. No, I'm just rambling, so I'm going to stop. But I will add that link to the show notes. Check it out. It's just, 30 seconds long? But nice little story. Go, girls. Until next time, continue to choose joy.